Chapter 26, Conversations. You can dress him up, but the geek's still there. Philia.
Val? Zell had been listening to his friend and roommate hacking out his lungs for half an hour behind his closed door. Come out and have some dinner. Keep me company. No answer. So he gave it his last pitch. Zelos is out, visiting Candy. The door opened. Yeah? Val staggered into the kitchen, then slumped into a chair. Shit. No, soup. But if you keep on smoking, it'll taste the same. Zell placed a steaming bowl of chicken soup on the table. Val breathed deeply of the fragrant vapor rising off the bowl. Beautiful, he said with a sigh. Sorry about the other. Just not feeling good. Excess will do that to you. Too much smoking, too much drinking, too much partying. Zell winced. He had twisted his torso too sharply, causing his bruised ribs to complain. Too much fun for him, too. Gingerly, he sat with his own bowl of soup and sliced a wedge of bread for dipping. His eyes met Val's. But you're a smart guy and you know all that. Enough preaching. He was beginning to sound like his father. Or somebody's father. Val slurped and made no motion to speak. Zell had one more point to make. You ought to live your life for yourself. Not to try and impress others. Or one other. Zell said that cautiously. That's not what I'm doing. Mostly. I've given up trying to get through to Philia. She's too busy with the clan crap, and I just can't be what I'm not. Val finished his soup. Got some more of this? You got a real gift with your cooking. Val stood and filled his bowl. Thanks. The more I do it, the better I get. First, I figure out the techniques. Then I find the recipes with ingredients I like. The rest is like a chemistry lab. Delgados continued to explain kitchen chemistry to his friend and roommate a few minutes longer. Do you think she likes him? Val asked out of the blue. Who are we talking about now? Zell sighed. Philly and Zelos. No, if you mean more than a friend. And even that's tenuous at times. Val, he thinks that she just thinks he's easier to manage in certain environments. And you and others. No preference going on. Now, you had enough soup? Can I clean up? Yeah, I'm done. Want me to wash the dishes? No, I'm faster doing it myself. Have any homework? Zell asked. Some. If I had passed my classes my first year, I wouldn't have to take so much this year. It ain't hard either. Just turn in stuff when I'm supposed to and show up test days. I was so stupid back then. Val turned his way. Not stupid, Val. You had no support at home and no future. Now you have, which is why your recent return to your past bad habits disturbs me. And Lena. Lena, like she even notices. She's too busy with Zelly Boy and that musical of theirs. Ours. The musical is about us. And we're in it. She'll have us practicing lines soon. Zell couldn't help but note Val's apparent irritation with their other roommate, Zelos. Val, if you have a problem with Zelos, why don't you talk to him about it? It's better than me, I can assure you. He likes you and has nothing but good things to say about you all the time. Anyway, he's got a girlfriend. At least, I think he's patched things up with her. How about his boyfriend? Val sneered. John? Oh, he's taking care of that problem. Val smiled slyly and chuckled. He gave John the thrill of his life when he dragged Nuriko over and introduced them. I don't want to think about that double date, Val groaned. Me neither. But now John has someone to distract him, and I guess Nuriko's interested in psychology, too. So they get along well. I don't know. It's just what Zelos told me. Did he really buy the dude a new car? Val asked as he picked up a towel to dry the bowls. Yeah, I drove them to a couple places and John picked one out. He thought it was a joke until Zelos pulled out his checkbook. Oh, he'd concocted some wild story about having a friend in the insurance company, and I don't know what else. John bought it, the story that is, and drove home in a new car. Nothing fancy, but it had a great stereo system. Zell shook his head. Sadly for Zelos, candy isn't so easily bought off. Her goodwill, I mean. He tries so hard to do what he can, but... Val shook his head. Yeah, I like the guy too, you know. Zelos is strange, but an okay dude. It's good he's found a girl who likes him, huh? Zell nodded and put away the stockpot. I don't know how long it can last, though. He doesn't see Candy often, and the recording we're doing over winter break, she's pretty resentful. She's even tried talking to me about changing the dates or shortening the time. Why don't he bring her to practice or invite her over? Val wondered. She knows you already, unless he's afraid of the competition from me. He might. Zell smiled. It's something we never all talked about. You know what I'm referring to. Bringing friends over that aren't part of the Slayers. Yeah, wouldn't bother me if you wanted to invite her. You? Zell shook his head. No, as long as it wasn't a regular thing. If you said something to him, it would mean more than if I did. Coming from me? Val smirked. Yeah, he'll just think it's 'cause I want to bring Naga over. Zell choked on his own spit. Naga? What do you mean? Zell nearly dropped his cup of water as he was about to heat it in the microwave to make tea. He'd have to wear his earplugs to shut out that piercing laugh of hers. Yeah, she's pretty cool when it's just her and me. She don't put on no airs either, and she don't act like she's better than me. You know, she's not dumb. She's got money of her own, too, though it ain't nothing like what I've got. But she don't know how much that is. You know what she wants to do? No, really, Val, I can't imagine what that might be. The only real conversation I had with her was last year in some dingy apartment in Syrog. She was an exotic dancer at the time. The Great White Serpent, I think. Val's turned to chuckle. Yeah, her dad didn't think much of that job. Nah, she's waitressing with Luna these days. But she's got a mind to open a spa. Something real classy, but not snooty, like that country club Zelos unloaded on me. I was thinking out in that desert, near my birthplace. There's some hot springs worth checking out, maybe in spring. Zelgadis selected a tea bag and dipped it into his cup, then asked, "You're serious about this?" Val nodded. "I got all that ancient clan place out there. Mostly, I think it deserves to be more than a pile of rubble. Milgazi is going to help me. He's a great guy. Real serious, but knows a lot. Luna, too. I see her more now that she's going out with Julian." "Julian?" Zell gasped. "The tennis pro?" "Yeah. Never thought I'd like the dude, but turns out he's okay. He close to died trying to find me on that mountain. Anyway, he and Luna are both doing law school, though she's just past the bar, so I guess she's done. He wants to get married, but Luna won't leave Lena alone." "I didn't know," Zell admitted. "I never was on friendly terms with her." "That's what I've heard. She thinks you're okay. Just a nerd with the hots for Lena," Val said. He just couldn't resist it. Blushing, Zell turned back to his cup of tea. "I don't, either." "Sure you do. But hey, who doesn't?" Val laughed. "Course, now that you and little Amelia are seeing some action..." Zell's eyes shot up, wide with surprise. "What do you mean?" Val laughed louder. "You took her out, didn't you? Alone? And I bet my ancestral home that you didn't just drive through town like I heard. Am I right?" The heat rose to his face, and Zell looked into his cup, hoping to read the tea leaf detritus about some really dark future for the roommate seated across the kitchen table from him. Except that he couldn't, because he'd used begged tea instead of loose leaf. It wasn't around town. It was up in the hills, stargazing and all. It was raining. Ain't no stars. Or were you too busy to notice? Val snorted and chuckled. But he could see that his friend was truly uncomfortable talking about anything too personal. Hey, I don't want to hear no details, dude. Just pulling your chain. Unless you want to tell. No, I don't. Listen, there's nothing going on with me and Amelia. She's a nice girl and all, but it's not me she's after. There, he'd said something about what was troubling him. It was hard to open that wound. Not you? Who then? Del sighed. Nobody you know. That guy's dead now, anyway. No shit. Then Val realized who Zell was talking about. He had missed the attack on the mayor and regretted not having been there to help out. Yeah, he missed all that, including meeting Amelia's cousin. Alfred? Yeah, Gary told me about the guy. And I'm not talking about the incident either. I mean that Gary said the guy was a dead ringer for you. Ah, without the scars and all. But wasn't as sure as you about Amelia being in love with the dude. He was her cousin and they were close as kids, he said. Zell fixated on his tea. Val thought about what Zell had said, and Gowry both. You know what I think? I think Amelia likes you, and she liked her cousin, and your looks and his looks just don't mean nothing to her. And that's that. You're not as smart as I thought, if you think she's that superficial. Val gave Zell a hard stare, trying to penetrate that thick, grayward skull. She's more mature about that than you. Zell darted a hard look up at Val, then back down at his cup. Yeah, I said that. You're all messed up about how you look, so do something about it. Zell slammed his cup down with surprising violence. All right, I will. Val started at the sudden intensity of his action. Zell sighed and regained his composure. But promise me something. If you ever bring Naga into this house, warn me. He pointed to one of his ears and smirked. They were back at school again. It felt odd. The Slayers were living in two worlds, one as extraordinary kids in the adult world, and the other as that of ordinary teenagers doing the customary things. All except for one, Zelos. He had never fit in with the common teen scene, and he wasn't about to start now. Freed from the restraints of his mother's rule and taste, and encouraged by Lena's dauntless attitude toward their band costuming, Zelos had begun to acquire a wardrobe of peculiar, often flamboyant, clothes, which were mostly for performing. Now, to be fair, everyone in the band had done this, but few wore the outfits to school. Sure, Zelgata snuck out with a black mesh shirt under a sweater, his earrings, and perhaps a studded belt or bracelet. Val retained his tough exterior and wore his black and chains and piercings daily. Even Lena's dressing showed more care taken to choose marvelously garish combinations on occasion. But Zelos took it a step or five further. Not that he cared what anyone thought of his appearance. It was just too damn fun to shock and annoy the sensitive folk. That, plus he reveled in the attention brought by both his visual aspect and the growing celebrity of the band. So today, fresh from the success of recording their first CD with the Flying Figs, he ambled carelessly down the hall to an appointment. He and Lena had their semi-regular meeting with the drama teacher and with the principal. And this time they had a CD to show for all their holiday time. Humming a tune from the band, he was smiling and relaxed in his shiny yellow vest and loose-fitting black leather jacket, whose sleeves were printed with a wine and green-colored diamond pattern. Lena had seen the jacket in a store window while in Atlas City and declared it perfectly Zelos, so he bought it, along with the vest, which she loved as well. Low-slung, snug, black leather pants completed his ensemble. The pants were new. He didn't like them for sitting long, never for drumming. But since this was play and not work, he was giving them a test run. Val swore by them. Of course, he did a lot of swearing. Zelos hummed and strolled until he was brought up sharply by a loud, rude voice and a body built like a brick wall.
"Hey, look who we have here. The little drummer boy. You know, the one that drums to a different beat."
The lout turned up his lips into a snarl, grabbed his crotch, and growled.
"Think I got what you're looking for."
A few of his buds drew up from behind Zelos, sealing him into the compact knot of male malice. Zelos was totally unprepared. He hadn't had any situations for a year now, and had come to think the human race had evolved beyond harassment. Different beat? That was pretty sophisticated for these apes. Then he recalled that music reviewer's article. Did that author know that what he had written amounted to slander? Or what, true or not, it could do to a guy? Not likely. Now, Zelos was facing that problem head-on, and was absolutely unafraid. He knew with total certainty that, even as out of practice as he was, he could take them all out. It wasn't the entire football team, just 5 bullies from the team, and unless they all worked together and sat on him, he was in no real peril. Physically. Mentally, it was a pain. He thought of his clothes. He didn't want to mess them up. Damn tight leather pants really constricted his mobility, too.
"Ah, well, sorry. I am not interested in you boys. Now, if you would just..."
Zelos stepped to one side, putting himself in a better defensive position. Rough hands snatched at his arms in an attempt to restrain him. Another ran along his thigh. Bad move. Really bad. With an effort, Zelos wrested away one arm and was about to break bones, beginning with the most offending hand, when a different voice called out.
"Zelos! Oh, I've been searching all over for you!"
Philia pushed past the posse. Actually, the moment she appeared, they parted like the Red Sea to give her space. The head cheerleader any of them would have killed to date.
"Oh, well..."
Zelos yanked his other arm free, jabbing an elbow into the nearest brute.
"I just wanted to give you this."
She pulled his face to hers and kissed him passionately. Shocked and unbalanced as he was, he nevertheless fell into his role immediately, returning her kiss with practiced ardor. She pulled back slightly, still holding his head with one hand and fingering his hair. "I haven't forgotten our time in Atlas City over the break. I hope you haven't either."
"How could I forget?" He smiled. "What time? The massive headache? The fan attack?"
"You forgot your room key," she purred. "Oh, that trip to Atlas City.
How absent-minded I was. Lucky for me, you are a sharing person," he replied, adding a husky edge of seductiveness to his voice.
"Right, so, what are you doing here? Come on, say bye-bye to your fanboys and walk me to my next class, okay?" Philia snaked her arm around his waist and nudged him with her hip.
"As you wish."
Zelos smiled and wrapped an arm over her shoulders.
"Excuse us."
Amid some grunts and shuffling, the party was over.
"Whew,"
he gasped when they were out of sight.
"I just ruined my reputation for you just now. You know that." "You made mine."
He smiled. She wasn't smiling, though. She was expecting something.
"Thanks, but I could have handled them. In fact, I was about to."
"What, start a fight in the hall?"
"Well, to be more accurate, they were the ones to start it all. I was just walking."
"But it would have been a fight, Zelos. You know that." She lowered her voice to a whisper. That Groshera guy thinks you are too weak to be a threat. You take out 5 guys and you'll look like a trained thug or something. Okay, not a thug, but you'll get him thinking and ruin your cover. Oh, that. He hadn't mentioned to anyone how he didn't think his cover was worth the trouble it took to maintain it. Believing that Groshera was behind both the painting incident and the corruption of Alfred. Well, now was not the time to argue with Philia. Oh, right. Thanks, Philia. Really, I hadn't thought of that. I wasn't thinking, just reacting, I guess. Afraid that he hadn't made that sound sincere, he placed a hand on her arm and added, Really, Philia? I mean it, Philia. Thank you. She weighed his reaction and decided his male ego was quashed sufficiently. Yeah, well, watch it next time. Been practicing? Huh? Oh no, I haven't been to the dojo in months, he asserted. She slapped his hand away. Not karate, your other moves. To his confused expression, she dropped the subtlety. Nice kissing, nutcase. Some, I guess so. That is, if you think so. He muttered inanely after being caught off guard by her compliment. Triumphantly, Philia tossed her blonde ponytail and laughed. You can dress him up, but the geek's still there. Before he could respond to that, she had left him there, gawking after her in the hallway. Oof! He coughed after a hard slug to his midsection punched the air out of him. Don't give me the I got lost excuse either, Lena shouted. What do I need? A leash? Do I need to put you on a leash so you get where and when you... Scratch that. Where and when I need you to be? Huh? No, I got waylaid by a gang of... Pirates. Sure, I know. Nice try. I saw you jawing away with Philia. Jeesh, isn't that candy enough? You gotta go and make trouble with Philia too? Well, actually, it wasn't me that started it. You see... Yeah. Lena gave him a push in the right direction. It's never you. Trouble just surrounds you. Strange attractor. Huh? What? Strange attractor. It's a physics term. My father named me after one. Or it after me, I forget which. I funnel chaos. Lena was about to say something smart, but he looked so forlorn, she passed it up for something less harsh. You keep life exciting, that's for sure. He rewarded her with a smile. Really? Well, I guess. He insisted. So do you. She punched him gently. Idiot. He smiled. Our room. Yes, the teacher awaits within. The drama teacher had been impressed with the music and all their progress. He had passed on a few suggestions, then hastened the kids out the door to their next appointment. Groshera was excited. Me? In charge of the location? Why, that's... I'm honored. Honored. This musical needs a fine stage and should accommodate several hundred, perhaps tens of thousands. Maybe a concert hall, or an arena, or stadium. Yes, the stadium could hold 50,000 people. Eh? Lena crooked her neck up from her notes to see if the man was in his right mind. No, 500 or so will be big enough. I once attended a theater production in Mosquito, Zelos put in. It's a suburb of Seyrun, he added, remembering that Groshera was new to the area. If you'd like, I could locate the number for their theater arts festival committee. Yes, would you? Use my computer right here if you'd like. The principal said, smiling. This musical thing is so exciting. I'm so glad to be part of it. I wish I could do more. Lena and Zelos exchanged glances over the monitor. Zelos nodded and continued his typing. Well, if you feel that strongly about it, Lena said casually. We do have this bit part at the end that hasn't been cast yet. Kind of a walk-on, really, but you'd be the, hero. Oh, it sounds perfect. Perfect! I could do introductions at the start and... He slapped his hands together and grinned. A musical role.
Getting back to my checklist, Lena nudged. About the ticket price. $20 might sound a bit steep for a high school function, but...
$20 for the seats in the back, $50 for the midsection, and $100 for the boxes, without a doubt, the principal interjected. Parking extra. Do you have kids to do that?
Zelos looked up from the monitor. What did this man think he was? A magician?
Ah, not yet. I have found the website, and it looks like we can do our booking from here. Okay. It appears Mosquita's largest theater seats 800. Parking? It has valet available, but if we substitute our own students, we can earn more money. That is, if they will let us.
Is the place available? How much? We're doing this for a profit.
The man shouted.
I thought we were doing this for a grade, Lena muttered.
Okay, here's the deal, Zello said, drawing the man to his side. Look at this. Schools, religious organizations, and non-profit organizations. Special rates, and they are low. Shall I see if their calendar is open?
Do that. We'll book it today.
If you like.
Zelos dutifully began that process.
They will need a credit card number to hold the reservation.
Oh? Here, use mine.
Grouchera whipped out his wallet and handed over a card. Zelos examined it.
Ah, sir, I believe you have made a mistake. This isn't a credit card.
He offered the card back, pretending to be concerned.
Did I? Oh, indeed I did. Ah, yes, let me have that back. Here, this is what you'll be needing.
Hastily, the man traded him a credit card for a card from a syndicate-run shop. Zello smiled briefly, then completed the transaction under the studied gaze of the principal.
And that's it. Lena, we have our location.
Lena saluted him with a thumbs up. That's all for my checklist, then. You? Zelos shifted on his chair.
Mr. Grouchera, something you'd like to add? Have you ever heard of the Syndicate?
Zelos exerted the utmost control over his features to remain composed. What kind of game was this man playing? Was he to pretend that he didn't know Grouchera was one of the elite members? That his mother had been his equal? That his father had been head of a competing conglomerate, that his aunts, uncles, his family was imbued with syndicate muck, that he had crossed paths with the syndicate twice in the Thanksgiving vacation? Was this man being cagey or just plain stupid?
Zello smiled and answered, Ah, yes, I once had an uncle who sold articles to several publications.
Grouchera did a double take.
What? Oh, I see. You thought I meant syndication. Common mistake. I've made it myself. But actually, I was thinking of this other organization of... Well, it doesn't matter. I can see you're confused.
Zelos nodded.
Yes, sir. So, do you have an hour or so? I'd like to take a drive. Let's all go for a drive and see this theater in Mosquita, shall we?
Grouchera reached for his coat. Lena shrugged her shoulders in answer to Zelos's raised eyebrows.
Sure, why not? She said.
On the way out, Grouchera stopped at the office secretary's desk and asked about his assistant. No, Miss Shira had not yet returned from lunch, but was due any time. The news seemed to please him.
She's such a workhorse. All work and no play, you know? The man snickered on their way out. I'm sure she'd find umpteen other things for me to do if she knew I was about to go out. Well, this is important too, isn't it?
Of course.
Lena agreed.
Yeah.
She had decided that insanity ran in the syndicate. It must be in the blood. The moment Zelos walked in the door, Zelgadas was on him. Want to ride to the shrine to see Subaru?
Yes. Do I get to eat first?
No, but I did make you a sandwich. Take it and turn around.
Can't I go to the bathroom?
Zelos whined. There are plenty at the shrine. Get moving. I'm meeting with Sylphiel, and she only has a few minutes before she's going to a game. Cheerleading, you know. Zelos took a bite out of the sandwich as he led the way to Zell's car.
Napkin? Lick your fingers. That's not hygienic. You're not hygienic. You'll live.
As Zell drove the streets of Seyrun to the downtown, Zelos asked,
Silphiel?
I was wondering how long it would take you to ask that. Zell smirked. I thought we might start dating. He stared straight ahead and counted. 1, 2, 3.
What? No, I don't believe that. You were kidding, right?
Naturally.
Okay, so, what's really up?
I want her to look over my character sketches, especially the costumes, for suggestions. She knows fabrics and what they can do better than I do.
Did you run them by Philia yet?
Zelos suggested. Yes, and she has some good ideas I'll think about. Zell shot Zelos a quick glance. She told me you had a near encounter of the bad kind in the halls. She saved your ass. Zelos made a face and squirmed. Poor choice of words, little brother. He sighed and looked out at the bright lights reflecting off the wet street. The past few days had seen constant rain, tearing off the remaining fall leaves and leaving the city gray and drab. Soon the holidays would dress it up again in lights and cheering colors. But for now, it was bleak looking.
Her timing was good, though. She stopped me from making a scene.
That all?
All? I don't know what you mean. Just say what's on your mind like you usually do,
Zelos insisted. You're not after her, are you? A faint pink colored Zell's cheeks. Not that I care, but Val was grousing about life, and her name and your name came up, linked at times.
Oh God, Zilgoddess, I can barely handle one girlfriend, much less juggle another, and especially one like Philia. I don't need her insults on a regular basis, thank you.
Think I'm a masochist?
She's all Val's, as far as I'm concerned.
Zell nodded. I think he's tired of trying to get her attention. Zelos nodded, too.
She's being pressed into nearly full-time servitude out at the settlement. He should be aware of that. She's lucky to be able to join in band activities.
I know. He agrees logically, but
emotionally?
Yeah, I know. He's never around these days. What's up with him? Zelos asked.
He's, how do I put this, dating a Naga, partying late, and he's smoking again.
Not in our house, Zelos declared.
In his room, I think. Outside on the porch.
Naga or the smoking?
Zelos interrupted.
The smoking. Naga, thankfully, has remained part of his nightlife outside of the house. Although, that might change. Anyway, he's getting his classwork done and homework, too, so I can't come down too hard on him. He's just a little jealous of your new, more confident, successful persona. And of Candy.
Candy? He's never met her, has he?
Zelos asked. No, but he thinks you ought to bring her over. You know, the tour. Dinner.
Really?
Zelos smiled.
And you? Would you be okay with that?
Of course. She's a nice girl, Zelos. Invite her any time, but not all the time.
Overnight?
Occasionally. I really don't care, Zelos. But I don't want me or Val to gross her out in the morning. That's your job. Zell smirked.
Zelos smiled in return. It would help. She thinks I'm hiding a wife or something.
Zell chuckled. I doubt it, but she's half right. You are hiding a huge part of your life from her. Have you thought about what and when to introduce the other Zelos?
Which one?
Zelos sank back into the comfortable leather seat, the warmth of the heater kicking in and soothing his raw nerves.
I can think of practically nothing else. I don't know where to start, or what to reveal, or when to stop.
When did you ever?
Ouch.
It's true. A year ago, most everything was a secret, or you are babbling about it constantly. Zelos opened his eyes and leveled a purple stare in Zell's direction.
Babbling?
Yes, babbling. Imparting way too much information at one time. Although it was mostly about me at the time. Zelos smiled.
I see. Pretty annoying, wasn't I?
No end of annoying. Of course, I was a miserable wretch with a chip on my shoulder.
The size of a boulder.
Yep, that was you. Zelos grew serious again. Speaking of shoulders, I'm nervous about the doctor appointment. Changing the subject adroitly, Zell turned.
I'm more worried about the next practice with Alina.
Zell looked puzzled.
How so?
Oh, that's right. She's been dancing around the topic with you. Doesn't want to distract you from the musical right now, Zelgata said.
Lena's avoiding talking to me about what? I don't understand.
All right, here's a few of the things she's been nagging me about. First, how did you know Mazenda and Kanzel, and what new information about them have you gathered? Second, what was up with the painting incident at the Atmet last week? She doesn't believe in coincidences, apparently. Let's see. Thirdly, why did you show up at the mayor's with your syndicate staff, the one with that heavy red stone on top? Which she craves, mind you. Why did you save Phil, then not return to help the rest of us out? Not a necessary action from my standpoint, but this is Leonid's diatribe, not mine.
Zelos shook his head. Good questions, Miss Lena. And I have one for her. Why didn't you show them that ring I gave you and save yourself?
Oh, yeah. Gowry was on her about taking too many risks. I mean, he was really mad at her. But, being there, I can say that it took us a while to figure out that they were syndicate people, and the moment we made that connection, Mazenda's foot was connecting with my ribs. After that, we were pretty busy, and Lena probably just forgot. Amelia, too.
Amelia? Oh, you finally gave her that necklace, eh? How did she react? Or, should I ask, how long a justice speech did you have to endure before she finally succumbed and accepted it?
Zelos smiled at the mental image.
Zelgata smiled at an entirely different mental image.
She was all over me.
Huh? No, really.
Really?
Really? Whoa, I haven't heard about all this. When did... what happened? Tell me.
Zelos straightened and twisted sideways in his seat. Zelos's reaction was satisfying to Zell's ego. Smiling all the while, he parked the car and set the brake.
Ah, too bad. We're here. I have to run to meet Silphiel. Maybe later. Shall I meet you at Subaru's room?
Zelos climbed out of the car and grinned.
Must have been a good time.
Zelgadas hid his smile and marched onwards.
Yeah, sure. Subaru's room. I'll be there a while.
Zelos opened the door and greeted the novice on door duty, signed both himself and Zell in, and then peeled off to the left, leaving Zell to wander off to the right. Subaru had been expecting the visit, since Zelgadas had called earlier to warn him. He had not returned to high school since his sister's death. His spirit had been broken, and the fix was slow in healing. Slow like the repair of nervous tissue. But his heart was eased by work, or at least his mind was distracted. And so he remained at the White Shrine performing his priestly duties and interacting with no one unless forced to. The Slayer's kids were a fortunate exception. Fortunate for him. Twice weekly, at least, Zelos paid him a call. Zelos had his own work to do for the Shrine, but Subaru knew that that was often put off in favor of spending time with him. And as much as he appreciated the company of Zelos and all the Slayers, he felt it was nearly time for him to answer another call, one that would begin at the newly reconstructed shrine near Atlas City, in Ridco Village, and then possibly take him overseas. He had one more thing to do with his life, and it would begin soon, he thought.
Hello,
Subaru greeted the slightly taller, purple-haired priest at his door.
Come in. Would you like some tea?
Yes. Thank you. I'll be back in a second. Gotta find the men's room, Zello said before turning away.
Four doors down, on the left,
Subaru called after him, then returned to his hot plate and teapot. A few minutes later, the two friends were seated in Subaru's tiny priest's compartment, Subaru on the edge of his bed and Zelos on the only chair. They exchanged pleasantries for a while. Then Subaru asked about Zelos's weak back, so far, since he'd last seen him. Carefully, as possible not to reveal too much, Zelos described the murder of Amelia's cousin during an attempt to displace the mayor. That saddened Subaru. He asked about the planned funeral.
Close family only. Not even me, Zelos replied. Amelia missed school today to attend. Her uncle wished it to be very low-key.
Ah, was all Subaru had to add. To change the subject quickly, Zelos shared some of the musical details.
Zelgadas will be stopping by later, and he can show you his drawings. He's quite talented.
Subaru mentioned his own blossoming, though only passable skills with the laptop drawing tool.
Really? I have mine here in my backpack. Would you show me something?
Zelos asked. Subaru was reluctant at first, but slowly overcame a bit of his shyness when Zelos admired his work. He was open about expressing his feelings, something Subaru was not. And, after a short time, Zelos was able to draw out Subaru's personality a little more.
Next time I come, I'll bring you one to use. I'd leave you this one, but it's got some sensitive information on it,
Zelos explained. Of course, Subaru didn't want Zelos to buy an expensive thing like that for him, so it took all of Zelos's charm and a white lie or two, very difficult for Zelos to pull off, to convince the guy that there was an extra one with his name on it just lying around unused.
What else to talk about?
Zelos thought of Philia and the hall incident and began to complain about that.
I am so tired of being mistaken for gay. I don't get it. I have a girlfriend. I don't hang around with guys except the band. I mean, I have gay friends, but we don't go out places together. It's just so irritating to have to defend myself all the time. No one else I know has to. Noriko, now he's bi, but he wears dresses, for God's sakes. But with a black belt, no one gives him any gruff. Of course, at the university anything goes. He was pretty normal in high school, until his sister fell off a horse and died, and then he grew out his hair and decided to be the girl his sister couldn't be. Then there's John. Did I tell you I had introduced him to Noriko, and they'd become quite close? Well, after buying him a car to replace the one I borrowed and wrecked.
Subaru's eyes had narrowed, then widened at that piece of news. Zelos jabbered on.
Oh, yes, I did that. Not actually wrecked it. I abandoned it and someone else totaled it, which was okay since it stopped them from getting away. Anyway, I think he got the wrong idea about me, so I told him about Noriko and promised to bring him over. He's pretty recognizable these days. Noriko is. Where was I? Oh, so what is it about me? I'll change it, anything. But not the hair. It stays.
Expecting Subaru to ask why, Zelos looked up at him and was astonished. There was a strange expression on Subaru's pretty face. This one did not belong in his usual scope of lost boy to innocent. This was a look of white fury, anger held back just behind the skin of his face. He was shaking. Slowly, he set his quivering teacup down with a horribly tiny clink on the saucer. He was silent. Silent like death. Zelos felt his heart freeze. Oh, gods, what had he done? Sister, died, change, hair. Hesitantly, painfully, Subaru moved his lips to speak. It seemed to be a great effort to make words come out. He stopped trying. He closed his eyes. He breathed. Zelos had stopped breathing. Oh gods, what had he done? There was a familiar crash. The jingle of keys, sound of footsteps. Hey guys, I brought... Zell walked in on a scene that sent shivers down his spine. He dropped his gift of tangerines and sat down, right there in the doorway. Subaru?
I do not understand. I'm sorry,
Subaru said very quietly.
I have not been in your situation. I cannot understand your pain. But
his voice broke, and he breathed for a while, trying to wrap his tongue around those cruelly evasive words.
But you are...
Zelos, what? Zell began. I was just talking about what happened today. Zell's mind was ablaze with the firing of neural synapses. Thoughts connected. The sordid web grew more distinct, and yet more complicated. Subaru stood up.
But those things do not matter. Why is it so horrible? Why do people hurt each other if people, he swallowed, did not talk to each other? Then we wouldn't need
to be anything but animals, Zell put in, trying to help.
What's wrong with animals?
I can, he drew in a breath.
Animals I can understand. With animals you can be your true self. You don't have to hide behind propriety or...
Zell's face displayed pain. Zelos's turmoil. Subaru's?
Animals don't make each other cry.
But animals don't cry for anyone. I had a dog once, Subaru continued. Was he talking to himself?
I saved it. As a puppy, from cruel children. They were only children, but they could hurt another creature. Defenseless? So I used my body to shield it. So they hurt me instead. Mostly with words. Then they went away. The dog cried for me. Not tears, but with its voice. All dogs have different voices. I can tell any animal by its individual voice, just like people. When my dog died, I cried for it, because I would never hear its voice again. It comforted me, but in the end, there was nothing I could do to comfort it.
Silence. Then,
it must have loved you very much, Subaru,
Zell said, almost as if he were talking to someone younger. Or maybe as if he himself were younger, simpler.
You are a very caring person.
That's the problem, isn't it? Subaru asked, looking at him. His green eyes were full of tears.
That's why I'll never be good enough. Hokuto used to tell me that I shouldn't care so much, that I'd break, and now I don't care at all about anything. I don't feel any better.
Subaru.
Zelos, I don't understand. Why do people have the feelings of affinity? Why do they fall in love? You are attracted to women. That is okay, it seems. It makes sense. People reproduce. Animals reproduce. It is logical, natural. But why do people fall in love? Why is it necessary?
Zelos shook his head. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't. It would hurt a lot less. It would be better, I think, if we didn't...
Guys! Zell had to stop this. This was stupid, destructive. This wasn't good for either of them.
Zelos was still venting his own frustrations, not even listening to what Subaru was saying. When did Zelos listen? When did anyone listen to Subaru? Only Zell understood, and the burden was so heavy.
I guess we need to form attachments with our mates, so that we feel obligated to raise our defenseless young, Zelos mused, feeling very much like scientific, logical, clear-headed Zell, and hoping for a commendation. Subaru shook his head. But I loved my dog. I loved my sister. There are all kinds of love. I only know them. They hurt so much. I wish I could be just like him and not feel a thing. If Zelos had not heard him before, he heard him now. Subaru, that's... I'm sorry, Subaru said tersely. I am burdening you. You have much to think about, many problems, and I cannot understand them. To be mistaken for something you are not, and targeted for it. To have too many who love you. I do not know that kind of pain. Zell stopped him with a touch of a finger to Subaru's pale wrist. Subaru, there was a time when I had it all. I was the smartest, cleverest, most admired guy in my entire school. The sky was the limit, and I can, even now, go back into that fifth grader's head and remember just how incredibly awesome that feeling was. Zell looked away. Then, in an instant, I lost it all. It was just gone. I was a freak, a monster. I was wrapped in bandages, head to toe for months, living and breathing pain without relief. Then I had reconstructive surgery for more. Then I came out looking like this. Zell spread his arms and tossed his bangs away from his face, revealing the more heavily scarred side of his face. I wanted to die. I was certain my life was over. I had lost what was important to me, and I just couldn't face the world. I was very weak-spirited, you see. Lena, thank the gods, was and is very strong. I was so lucky to have a friend like her to stick by me and make me move again and walk and after a while meet new people. Subaru, not much more than a year ago, I was a mess. And now I have my friends, a family, the band, reasons to go on living and loving as well. Most of all, I'm even able to talk about all this. Zell took a deep breath. Now, if I can do that, then surely there's hope for you. And all of us in the Slayers are here for you, to listen and advise, yes, even the incompetent guys like Zelos mean well. He smiled over at his friend. There is hope, Subaru. And I'm here to tell you that even if you've lost it, I haven't. We haven't. And we're here to remind you of that every day. All right? Do you believe me? Zelgadas. Subaru's eyes were brimming with tears, almost overflowing. All I wanted was to be someone important to him. Someone he could care about. That was all. We care about you, Subaru. It may not be what you want, but we're here anyway, all right? Can I be alone for a while? He asked, nearly whispering. Zelgadas grabbed Zelos and nodded. Try the tangerines. We'll be back soon. Call me if you want to talk more. I'm ready for it, if you are, Zelgadas said. Soon. I'm almost ready, I think. Subaru smiled very weakly. They left. Are you sure we should be leaving him alone? I mean, what he was saying, he sounded a little bit like you do when you're working things out while you're talking. But he sounded desperate, on the edge. He doesn't talk like that. And that, Zell sighed, turning the corner smoothly in his sleek car, is the problem. Zelos, he needs to talk through this stuff, or else he'll just internalize it as the truth of the universe. He has to get it out, put it in perspective, share with others. Get it? This is the first normal, healthy reaction we've gotten from him. Yes, his philosophy is abstract and faintly disturbing, but it helps him to talk about it, all right? But what was he talking about? He doesn't really mean that he doesn't, you know, like people. What sort of question is, why do people fall in love? How can he expect us to answer that? How can he need an answer to that? Zelos.
Zell gritted his teeth, clenched the steering wheel a bit harder. I'm sorry that you couldn't figure this out on your own, but look, what did you do to set him off? What did you say that made him angry? Or as close to angry as he can get?
Well, I said some stupid things. I got off onto Noriko and mentioned that his sister died, and I was talking about changing without cutting my hair. I mean, he had to cut off his hair after Hokuto died, so that he wouldn't see her every time he... Well, that certainly didn't help. But that wasn't all you said. You want to know why he's so dysfunctional? Why he can't handle his grief?
Zelos, he is in love with Seishiro. Get it now? Seishiro, and only Seishiro. And then he killed Hokuto. Subaru not only has to deal with loss, but betrayal. And guilt. He's all alone now. His idea of love is completely and utterly corrupted. Now, think about that for a while, and stop bitching about your love problems.
I keep forgetting, Zelos mused when Zell's words had completely died, that there are people in this world more screwed up than me.
Damn straight.
They drove on quietly for a little longer. Zelos certainly had a lot to think about, Zell knew. He would probably be mulling it over for days. Things would be nice and quiet, if a little dour around the house for a while.
You know what Subaru needs?
Zell had no idea.
A pet. Zelos brightened. Oh joy, here we go again.
At lunch the next day, Lena asked to see Zell's drawings.
Zell, these are...
Zell looked up expectantly. One could never tell with Lena what she might like or not like.
Spectacular! I love them! Feathers! I had been thinking leather. Like bat wings for Val, but feathers!
Huh? Val barked out. You got me made out like a bird, Zellbob? You told me dragon demon kind of thing.
He ripped the paper from Lena's hand.
Oh, that's cool, dude. Okay.
Then he added with a spreading grin, what's with the neckline on Philia's dress?
Zell flushed as Philia broke from her conversation and riveted him with a cold stare.
My what?
Philia asked. Zell snatched the drawing from Val and then explained,
it laces up the front. I was just trying to show that by loosening them.
Philia rose out of her seat and towered over them both.
I might wear something under that.
Or not.
She laughed saucily and returned to her chair.
Zello slid over in his seat and peered over Zell's arm.
My, Zell Goddess. What was on your mind when you were coming up with these designs? Let me see. Did you put the men in codpieces and the women all in bosom-bearing dresses?
Zell whipped the papers over, face down, and slid them back over to Lena.
No. Oh, just the women are treated like sex symbols? Is that to rack up the dollars at the door?
Zelos continued to tease him.
Zell tried to ignore him. I got my ideas from books of period clothing.
Zelos was now hovering behind Lena, hoping to catch another glimpse of a design. Lena shuffled through until she found his.
Hey, I'm just in my priest's cloak. No fancy sorcerer's robes.
Ugh, Zell Goddess.
Gowrie was curious about what he'd be wearing. He was seated beside Lena, and so simply looked over her head.
That's a great-looking outfit for you, Lena.
Yeah, I like it. Those shoulder pads kind of scream in your face, don't they? Heh heh. Here, you'll look pretty fine as a mercenary swordsman in that, right?
You put Lena in pants? And why doesn't Amelia have a low-cut bodice, huh?
Zelos asked over Lena's shoulder, a safe distance from Zell.
Because I'm the one doing the designs, not you, Zell growled dangerously.
Okay, so Zelos' criticism was beginning to get to him.
Hey, Amelia, you get a traveling outfit with pants and an occasional princess dress. Aren't you lucky?
Lena smiled across the table at her younger friend.
Well, that's good, Amelia announced. Princesses should have lots of clothes, whereas the common people should wear the same things day after day. I'm sure Zelgadis was thinking of that, right?
Zell nodded. Sounded good to him. Silphiel was now checking all the pictures over, noting any changes he might have made.
Hello, a friendly voice called from behind her.
It was Bobby, the harp-playing band leader from the Flying Figs.
Hi, chorused the Slayers.
The CD went over well with the drama teacher, Lena began. We scouted out our location with the principal, and that's all settled. Zell's been working out the character sketches. You know, clothes and stuff.
Silphiel sighed.
I just know I can't sew all this alone. On time.
Aha! Well, it's the anguish of snails. The Flying Figs are multi-talented. Consider the sewing skills of me, Lee, and Pearl. Oh, and Luke, too, at your service.
Bobby tipped his floppy black hat toward Zelgadis.
Guys that sew? Felia asked.
And knit, Bobby grinned. We had this crazy German teacher in middle school who taught everyone to knit the first year and to sew the next 2 years. Good for costumes, I can tell you.
You are hired, Zell sighed, a problem solved that he hadn't even thought would be a problem.
There's just a wee bit of a problem, Bobby said apologetically.
Of course.
We probably can't cover the cost of materials, though we work cheap.
Zell was relieved. Payment, was that all?
We have a budget, and you'll get paid for your time and material. Over Bobby's thrilled noises, Zell added, I'll leave you and Silphiel to work out who does what, all right?
Oh, for monetary issues, always go through Lena.